Snowflakes tumbled and drifted in front of the headlights. The snow was coming south.
Is he sick?
It ain't that. Women survive their men. Men like him, don't live long when their women are gone. You'll see. He'll just start wandering. All the familiar things are going to be gone with her. He gets tired, and he fades, and then he gives up, and then he's gone. Maybe pneumonia will take him, or maybe it'll be cancer, or maybe his heart will stop. Old age and all the fight gone out of you. Then you die.
Shadow thought.
Hey, Jackal.
Yeah?
Do you believe in the soul?
It wasn't quite the question he had been going to ask, and it took him by surprise to hear it coming from his mouth. He had intended to say something less direct, but there was nothing less direct that he could say.
Depends. Back in my day, we had it all set up. You line up when you die, and you answer for your evil deeds and for your good deeds. And if your evil deeds outweighed a feather, we'd feed your soul and your heart to Ahmet, the eater of souls.
He must have eaten a lot of people.
Not as many as you'd think. It was a really heavy feather. We had it made special. You had to be pretty damn evil to tip the scales on that baby. Stop here, that gas station. We'll put in a few gallons.
The streets were quiet in the way that streets only are when the first snow falls.
It's going to be a white Christmas,
said Shadow as he pumped the gas.
Yep. Shit. That boy was one lucky son of a virgin.
Jesus?
Lucky, lucky guy. He could fall in a cesspit and come up smelling like roses. Hell, it's not even his birthday, you know that? He took it from Mitras. You run into Mitras yet? Red Cap. Nice kid.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I've never seen Mitras around here. He was an army brat. Maybe he's back in the Middle East, taking it easy. But I expect he's probably gone by now. It happens. One day every soldier in the Empire has to shower in the blood of your sacrificial bull. The next, they don't even remember your birthday.
Swish went the windshield wipers, pushing the snow to the side, bunching the flakes up into knots and swirls of clear ice. A traffic light turned momentarily yellow and then red, and Shadow put his foot on the brake. The hearse fishtailed and swung around on the empty road before it stopped. The light turned green. Shadow took the hearse up to 10 miles per hour, which seemed enough on the slippery roads. It was perfectly happy cruising in second gear. He guessed it must have spent a lot of its time at that speed holding up traffic.
That's good. So yeah, Jesus does pretty good over here. But I met a guy who said he saw him hitchhiking by the side of the road in Afghanistan and nobody was stopping to give him a ride. You know, it all depends on where you are.
I think a real storm's coming,
said Shadow. He was talking about the weather. Jackal, when eventually he began to answer, wasn't talking about the weather at all.
You look at me and Ibis. We'll be out of business in a few years. We got savings put aside for the lean years, but the lean years have been here for a long while, and every year they just get leaner. Horus is crazy. Really bug-fuck crazy. Spends all his time as a hawk, eats roadkill. What kind of a life is that? You've seen Bast, and we're in better shape than most of them. At least we've got a little belief to be going along with. Most of the suckers out there have barely got that. It's like the funeral business. The big guys are going to buy you up one day, like it or not, because they're bigger and more efficient, and because they work. Fighting's not going to change a damn thing because we lost this particular battle when we came to this Greenland 100 years ago, or 1,000, or 10,000. We arrived, and America just didn't care that we'd arrived. So we get bought out, or we press on, or we hit the road. So yes, you're right. The storm's coming.
Shadow turned onto the street where the houses were, all but one of them dead, their windows blind and boarded.
Take the back alley.
He backed the hearse up until it was almost touching the double doors at the rear of the house. Ibis opened the hearse and the mortuary doors, and Shadow unbuckled the gurney and pulled it out. The wheeled supports rotated and dropped as they cleared the bumper. He wheeled the gurney to the embalming table. He picked up Lila Goodchild, cradling her in her opaque bag like a sleeping child, and placed her carefully on the table in the chilly mortuary, as if he were afraid to wake her.
You know, I have a transfer board. You don't have to carry her.
Ain't nothing.
He was starting to sound more like Jackal.
I'm a big guy. It doesn't bother me.
As a kid, Shadow had been small for his age, all elbows and knees. The only photograph of Shadow as a kid that Laura had liked enough to frame showed a serious child with unruly hair and dark eyes standing beside a table, laden high with cakes and cookies. Shadow thought the picture might have been taken at an embassy Christmas party, as he had been dressed in a bow tie and his best clothes, as one might dress a doll. He was looking solemnly out at the adult world that surrounded him. They had moved too much, his mother and Shadow, first around Europe, from embassy to embassy, where his mother had worked as a communicator in the Foreign Service, transcribing and sending classified telegrams across the world, and then, when he was 8 years old, back to the U.S., where his mother, now too sporadically sick to hold down a steady job, had moved from city to city, restlessly spending a year here or a year there, temping when she was well enough. They never spend long enough in any place for Shadow to make friends, to feel at home, to relax, and Shadow had been a small child. He had grown so fast. In the spring of his 13th year, the local kids had been picking on him, goading him into fights they knew they could not fail to win, and after which Shadow would run, angry and often weeping, to the boys' room to wash the mud or the blood from his face before anyone could see it. Then came summer, a long, magical 13th summer, which he spent keeping out of the way of the bigger kids, swimming in the local pool, reading library books at poolside. At the start of the summer, he could barely swim. By the end of August, he was swimming length after length in an easy crawl, diving from the high board, ripening to a deep brown from the sun and the water. In September, he had returned to school to discover that the boys who had made him miserable were small, soft things, no longer capable of upsetting him. The two who tried it were taught better manners, hard and fast and painfully, and Shadow found that he had redefined himself. He could no longer be a quiet kid, doing his best to remain unobtrusively at the back of things. He was too big for that, too obvious. By the end of the year, he was on the swimming team and on the weightlifting team, and the coach was courting him for the triathlon team. He liked being big and strong. It gave him an identity. He'd been a shy, quiet, bookish kid, and that had been painful. Now he was a big, dumb guy, and nobody expected him to be able to do anything more than move his sofa into the next room on his own. Nobody until Laura, anyway. Mr. Ibis had prepared dinner, rice and boiled greens for himself and Mr. Jackal.
"I am not a meat eater," he explained. "While Jackal gets all the meat he needs in the course of his work."
Beside Shadow's place was a carton of chicken pieces from KFC and a bottle of beer. It was more chicken than Shadow could eat, and he shared the leftovers with the cat, removing the skin and crusty coating, then shredding the meat for her with his fingers.
"There was a guy in prison named Jackson,"
said Shadow as he ate.
"Worked in the prison library. He told me that they changed the name from Kentucky Fried Chicken to KFC because they don't serve real chicken anymore. It's become this genetically modified mutant thing, like a giant centipede with no head, just segment after segment of legs and breasts and wings. It's fed through nutrient tubes. This guy said the government wouldn't let them use the word chicken."
Mr. Ibis raised his eyebrows.
"You think that's true?"
"Nope. Now, my old cellmate, Loki, he said they changed the name because the word fried had become a bad word. Maybe they wanted people to think that the chicken cooked itself."
After dinner, Jackal excused himself and went down to the mortuary. Ibis went to his study to write. Shadow sat in the kitchen for a little longer, feeding fragments of chicken breast to the little brown cat, sipping his beer. When the beer and the chicken were gone, he washed up the plates and cutlery, put them on the rack to dry, and went upstairs. He took a bath in the claw-footed bathtub, brushed his teeth with his disposable toothbrush and toothpaste. Tomorrow, he decided, he would buy a new toothbrush. When he returned to the bedroom, the little brown cat was once more asleep at the bottom of the bed, curled into a fur crescent. In the middle drawer of the vanity, he found several pairs of striped cotton pajamas. They looked 70 years old, but smelled fresh, and he pulled on a pair which, like the black suit, fitted him as if they had been tailored for him.